This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome to Health and Living with me, T. Xiao Yik. For many women, dealing with menstrual cramps and the pain that comes with it is all too familiar, and many of us have gotten used to it happening every month. But what if the pain is so severe that it is debilitating, and what could be causing it? Now, one of the medical conditions that can cause severe menstrual cramps and pain is endometriosis. And to help us understand how common this condition is and how can women who live with this condition cope with it? I have joining me today via Zoom several guests. One is consultant obstetrician and gynecologist Dr. Hu Mei Lin. I also have Surita Morgan and Gandhimathi Subramaniam, who are members of My Endosis, a patient support group for endometriosis. And we're going to discuss more about this. But first of all, how are all of you today?
We're fine. Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you so much for sharing your time and, you know, just being willing to tell us more about everything that comes with living with endometriosis. But first, of course, we need to understand what endometriosis is. And Dr. Hu, I'm going to turn to you. If you can help us understand, what is this condition?
So from a scientific point of view, endometriosis is essentially a condition that is tied in with your periods. So the name is derived from the name for the lining of our womb, the endometrium. And so the condition exists when the cells from this lining of the womb or the endometrium travel some to places that it's not supposed to go. So it ends up like near the ovaries or near the intestines and within the walls of the uterus, even as far afield as the lungs and the brain has been documented. Very, very rare, but it does happen. So since it's tied to the periods, it then means that these cells are meant to be shed when we are having our periods. The endometrium is shed during the period. So because these cells are outside, they then tend to bleed as well. Not a lot, maybe one drop, two drops like that. But, you know, blood outside of the blood vessels is actually very, very, very irritating. So it causes a lot of irritation and inflammation. And therefore, the hallmarks of endometriosis is period pain. Now, it differs from period pain in that usually they would our endometriosis patients will complain of period pain before the period. So before the period starts, the pain already starts. And then it may carry on through the period, it may not, but these are the hallmarks of endometriosis. So pain and associated with periods.
All right. Maybe I can get either Surita or Gandhi to jump in here and to really describe to us, to help us understand how bad is this period pain? Because we all know that some amount of pain is expected during your cycle. But how is it different when you have endometriosis, Surita?
Well, actually, to be frank with you, I only started experiencing my chronic period pain when I was in my late teens. I had my period way before that, but only towards the end of my late teens, I had this chronic pain where I fainted many times. I vomited. I was unable to explain my pain to the doctor. And naturally at that time, we go and see a medical officer. And we didn't think of seeing an expert. So everybody around us normally will tell us that it's just period pain and this is expected. And what I did was I started to just depend on painkillers. That's how I managed myself. But I realized that as the years go by, the pain started to intensify. And like what Dr. Hu mentioned just now, it's before period, during period, and it started to be after period as well. So in a month, I would have like about 15 days of pain-free days. And the rest of the time, I'm always on pain medication. And when I see a doctor back then, they will normally give me painkillers. So that's the disturbing thing. I mean, women like us, even young girls, we were always told that period pain is normal and you have to bite the bullet and just handle it yourself. If you can't, that means you're weak, or you're seeking attention, or you're exaggerating your pain. So that's what I went through. You know, it's not just the physical pain, it's the emotional pain as well. The pain of explaining to people.
Mm, yep.
Definitely, there is a difference between period pain, normal period pain, and endometriosis.
Right. And Gandhi, what about your experience with it? Is it similar to Surita's?
I had it very early. I got my period at the age of 12, and then the next month I start to have that pain. Mm. So at that age, you don't know what you're going through. And way back in the 80s, nobody explained to you that this is not normal. We were always being told that it's normal. And then even when at that time, when we go to see a doctor, they keep saying that it's normal. You just have to, they just prescribe some painkillers. I heard about the word endometriosis 14 years after I got my period. So that's how long it took to be diagnosed with the correct disease. Throughout that period of 14 years, at the age of 26, I went through a series of pain, absence from school, absence from activities, affected a lot of my social and also my studies at that time, uni, everything. And it's very hard to explain to people that actually you're having a very diabolic pain. They mm-hmm. say that your threshold pain, your pain, you cannot
tahan
lah. Tahan sakit. That's the thing, because nobody else have that.
Dr. Hu, how common actually is endometriosis among women in Malaysia? And on the flip side of that, how common is it to hear these kinds of experiences where nobody recognizes what it is?
Actually, it really saddens me to hear Surita's and Ganti's stories. But unfortunately, I still hear them today. Okay, so Ganti is saying like, in the 80s, nobody told us this. Well, unfortunately, in this day and age, sometimes I'm also seeing patients who have been struggling with these sort of issues, and they come to me and then kind of relieved because, there's finally maybe there's someone who recognizes that this pain is not normal. So maybe that is the part of the reason why we are here today, is to tell and hopefully disseminate information so people can know what is normal and what is not normal. And while period pain, actually, I disagree with you. I don't think period pain should be expected. Okay, right. There are some degrees of pain that women have, but I think the rule of thumb is that this pain that you experience during the month should not affect you in a way that it stops you from doing your normal daily stuff. Okay, once the pain starts to affect you in the way that you need to take time off work, you can't do the things you enjoy, you don't even want to go shopping, or you can't even get out of the house, that is, and you really do need to seek help. And there is also a local taboo that they don't want to take pain medication. I can tahan. This tahan word should be thrown out of the dictionary, to be honest. So don't tahan, okay? If you have pain, you can take two simple pain medication. It goes away, then it's okay. But if you're taking the Panadol and you're still rolling around in pain, then it's not okay. So coming back to what Surita and Ganti is saying, I feel very saddened by these stories, and I do support their cause a lot, my endosis, and we don't call them sufferers anymore. We call them warriors because they have been through a lot. Okay, so what we aim to do today is to break the cycle. We want to break the cycle to make sure that any young woman who's going through this today will know when to seek help. Now, Ganti mentioned that actually during her adolescence, very early on, she had period pain. And the studies have shown that up to 60% of teenagers who have period pain may have endometriosis. And if we target it early, we treat it early. Treatment does not mean analgesics, doesn't mean painkillers. If we treat it early enough, we can actually reduce the problems that is associated with endometriosis.
All right.
Surita's story also inspires me in a way that she said that her pain came and then it got worse. So this is one of the hallmarks of endometriosis as well. If the things that you normally do to help you to get through the pain during the time of the month is not working anymore, that means it's progressing, then there's something wrong. So it's not just normal period pain.
What if this is left undiagnosed, untreated, unmanaged, you know, for years?
Yeah, so now this can have a lot of problems. They can have psychological issues, and then they can have issues with work. Both Gandhi and I think Sarita have mentioned that. So because then they'll be like, "Aiya, you are every month pain, MC. This is all just manjaitis. You know, what nonsense is this? You know, so then your career is affected. Your job opportunities are affected. And psychologically, I think you'll be affected too, because you'll be known as the MC abuser of the office. Who likes to be that? So that's one. So that's the psychological issues of endometriosis. Then there is the physical issues of endometriosis, whereby some women do get diagnosed with endometriosis. Then they have like numerous interventions, numerous surgeries. You know, these surgeries are not uncomplicated. Every surgery, no matter how simple, does have its complications attached. And often, more often than not, unfortunately, endometriosis, even with surgery, it recurs. So it does come back. So my personal belief, and there are medical professionals who agree with me, is that surgery should be the last option for women with endometriosis. But the most sad thing that I find happens, and of course, maybe I see it more because this is my area of interest, is that women with endometriosis end up with fertility issues. So either because, remember, I told you endometriosis is a very angry disease. So it's like there's a lot of inflammation. There's a lot of, you know, then they cause scarring on the inside. So then your tubes may get blocked. You have problems getting pregnant. Okay. The other side is that with repeated surgery, especially around the ovaries, you then reduce your ovarian reserve and therefore difficulties getting pregnant. So that there is that component as well. So there's physical and then there's psychological.
All right. I'll find out later from both Sarita and Gandhi about how these particular challenges have manifested in their lives. But we'll go for a quick break first. And when we come back, actually, what I want to jump into is first to try and explore really why after so many years, we're talking decades here, you still have healthcare professionals who don't recognize endometriosis, women who don't know what to do, and really everyone is still stumbling around in the dark. And we'll just talk a little bit about that before we go into some of those physical and psychological impacts, as well as how do you manage endometriosis. I'm speaking today to consultant obstetrician and gynecologist Dr. Hu Mei Lin, as well as two members of a patient support group called My Endosis. I'm speaking to Sarita Morgan and Gandhimathi Subramaniam. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back. BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Health and Living with me, T. Xiao Yi. Today, I'm talking about living with endometriosis with my guests. They are consultant obstetrician and gynecologist, Dr. Hu Mei Lin, Sarita Morgan, and Gandhimathi Subramaniam, who are from My Endosis, and that's a patient support group for people living with endometriosis. Now, we've already very briefly covered that endometriosis is a condition where the endometrial cells, which typically line the uterus, start growing outside of the uterus. They may appear on the ovaries, they may appear on the fallopian tubes, sometimes even intestines and organs that are further away, and they cause a lot of irritation, inflammation, and even scarring on those particular tissues where they grow. You know, what I'm really hearing from the three of you is the pain, not just the physical pain, not just the psychological pain of, you know, living with something that can be so challenging and debilitating, but the pain of nobody understanding what you're going through, nobody believing you when you say that this is not normal. I want to ask, you know, any of you who want to jump in, is this a lack of clinical knowledge? Or is this just the fact that women's health issues are always neglected and always sidelined? What do you think, Sarita?
Okay, in my opinion, okay, what I see is it's probably because it's a taboo topic in the first place. Nobody likes to talk about period, and this perception that it's unclean and it's solely a women's topic and a woman's issue, and it should be addressed by a woman herself, you know. So I guess that's the thing that we're trying to do in My Endosis. We are trying to break that taboo. We are trying to get people to talk about menstrual health. And what I realized that in schools, we teach young girls about menstrual hygiene. We did not teach them about menstrual health. We did not teach them about what is normal period pain and what is not normal period pain. So what happens is, like what Dr. Hu mentioned and Gandhi mentioned, and even what I went through, we all went through something in school or in the university, and it progressed and it got worse. And because of that, we have fertility issues and we have other chronic issues due to endometriosis. So I'm not sure actually what went wrong, but I think it's the society. We have to learn to accept this topic, period, you know, and we have to address this. If it's different or if it's unusual, we have to seek treatment. So our association is trying our very best to educate people, to create awareness on endometriosis. We're trying to teach the society, the public, and I think the doctors are doing a good job as well. Gynecologists, there's a lot of conference among doctors on endometriosis. I think slowly there is a change, but back when Andy and myself, we went through when we were young, it was a very dark era. I find that a dark era because we have to keep on explaining to people, and people kept telling us that we are crazy or insane, you know, or we're making this up, you know, that's the thing that is disturbing. But we do see some progress, but it's not enough. So we're trying to do something about this.
All right. Gandhi, Dr. Hu described several layers, I suppose, of how a woman's life is affected when endometriosis is not recognized and treated. You know, can we see it through your eyes? Whether it's in terms of the physical consequences or social, psychological, which ones of those affected you the most? And, you know, if you could share with us.
I think the most affected one will be my career, I suppose, because as like what Dr. Ho always say that we are labeled as MC seekers, you know, it will affect your evaluation, no matter how much you're trying your best to be there to fulfill. And the irony is that the pain will come on important day. Meetings, a presentation. I don't know why, but it does. It does come on an important day where you have to pop a lot of painkillers and be there. And even though you're feeling drowsy, you have to be there. But it's not healthy at all. And for you to give constantly giving that excuse, because none of people, I didn't find any of my people, I mean, around me, even my family members, I have four sisters, none of them have that. So to tell them a disease that you can't see that you have is very difficult. Even though at that time I was very happy that I have a name for my disease, but it's very difficult for me to tell to people because they don't understand, because they say that period pain is normal. And another thing, being a single woman, as what Ms. Surita said, the issue of taboo, only a married woman to see ONG at that time was okay. But for a single woman to go and see ONG still was taboo back then. Mm. Like, why you want to go and see unless you have done something, you know? Mm. So that kind of a thing that you, even you want to get help, it was a taboo.
Yeah.
So that was a very difficult thing because you know you have problem, you want to seek help, you sort of have this taboo issue,
yeah.
And you're having problem with your career and you want to perform. And of course, social, mental issues, I mean, psychological issues that you always feel inadequate, that something is wrong with you. You always feel inadequate. Why are you having this pain? Why am I the chosen one? You know, it's always the why mm-hmm. there. My why have been answered when I met my family. I always say my endosis is my family because they are the first one, are the people who speaks my language for the first time. So I'm so happy that I meet my people.
And Surita, in terms of, I know you have children. So in terms of the impact of endometriosis on fertility, did that present challenges to you?
Definitely, you know, because I was only diagnosed 8 years later, and I was diagnosed back in 2001. At that time, I was not married, but I was told to get married. Okay, so I was told to get married because at that time, the perception is it's good to get pregnant, it's good to get married, you know. So when you're pregnant, it will suppress the symptoms and you would have this period where you don't have period, you know. So I was doing that. Okay, so immediately I got married and I tried to conceive. But before I got married, actually, I had to do a surgery. So I did a surgery to clean up my uterus and then I got married. And then I managed to conceive naturally the first time. Unfortunately, it was a very difficult period for me because I lost my first baby. Okay? I carried him up to 7 months, passed away in me, and nobody could explain the situation. I went through this depression, and of course, fertility was a challenge, actually. In 10 years, it was such a challenge for me. I was trying to conceive, and I did manage to conceive my daughter and my son, but both were very difficult pregnancy. I had placenta previa. I guess it's because of all the surgeries I did in the past. You know, I did many surgeries, actually. The fertility journey itself is very exhausting. You know, I am not the kind of person who can actually conceive easily. So there's a lot of effort on my part. And this poses a lot of challenges, right? Number one would be emotional challenges. And even at work, you're trying to explain to your employers that you need some time off just to conceive or to do fertility treatment. And don't forget that it cost a huge bomb in terms of financial aspect, you know, because when you're trying to conceive, it's not cheap. It's definitely not cheap. So it's a big, big hurdle for me. But I'm thankful I have two beautiful children. I have my daughter who's 17 years old this year and my son who's 10. Thankful, but not many females are as lucky as I am. To be honest, even now, even when we tell people, like what Gandhi said, we tell people that this pain is real and the fertility issue is real, but it's an invisible issue. It's an invisible illness. Now, what I normally get is this. People will have this perception that it's our fault we have endometriosis. They will probably say, oh, you're not eating right, or you're not exercising. So I can go on and on to explain about the emotional hurdle that we went through, and as well as the fertility journey. But it's definitely an exhausting thing, you know, when you have endometriosis. It's not an easy thing.
Mm. Dr. Hu, I just want to find out a little bit more. Why was Surita told that she should get married, that it would suppress her symptoms? What's going on there?
Well, I think if you ask anyone out there, they will say, "Aiya, period pain normal lah. You know, you have pain, and then you get pregnant, thing, the pain will go away." All right, so
then you have other pains.
yeah, maybe you get distracted. But no, but actually, there is some truth to that. There is certain kinds of period pains where actually there is no organic cause. Like you cannot find a cause for the period pains, and then some of these pains actually do go away after you deliver. Maybe because the uterus is a little bit more loose now, so the contractions are that you feel during periods are not as bad, so the period pains do go away. There it is well documented that it does happen, and therein lies the problem. Okay, so before you said, you know, why are doctors still not diagnosing this so many years later? So I've mulled over this long and hard, because as part of the healthcare profession, it is a little bit puzzling. But, you know, I also didn't arrive at this suddenly. I wasn't born with this knowledge that, dang, there's endometriosis, dang, everybody suffers, okay? So I think when I went through medical school over 20 years ago, I think in those days, even in Malaysia, we as healthcare professionals were looking to save lives. So we were in the business of saving lives. So unfortunately, endometriosis, period pain, you won't die from it, what, right? Your life is not worth living, but you won't die from it. So because you don't die from it, you don't get the airtime, like heart disease, like cancer. You know, it's not so sexy, all right? So, but now we are moving towards being a first world country rather than a third world country. So we're going towards a developed country status. Now we talk about quality of life. When you talk about quality, we don't longer talk whether you die or you don't die. We talk about living well, all right? So quality of life. So now I think is the time. Now is the time to talk about quality of life. And endometriosis is there, okay? So like I said, endometriosis is a disease that unfortunately will not kill you, but it will make your life a living hell. It's awful.
Very true, doctor.
Right, you have pain. Yeah, but actually, you don't have a badge to say, "Dang, I've got pain, I've got endometriosis." I survive every month rather than suffer. So that's one. So, and then menstrual, menses, periods being such a taboo topic. I mean, we are taught that when you have your period, you're unclean. You can't go to places of worship. Okay, you can't participate in certain ceremonies. When you have your periods. And this is true across all ethnic groups. So we are taught all this. So this is not a topic that is generally talked about. And sadly, in Gandhi's case, she's not alone. There are girls who have period pains that are so severe, but they are the only one in their family that has these pains. So a girl will go up to her mom and says, "Mom, you know, I'm having period pain." "Aiya, normal lah. I also got one. After I had you, okay only." All right. So you have that sort of thing. So late presentations, late recognition of signs, it still takes on an average 10 years before a woman gets a diagnosis these days.
All right. And if we're talking about improving quality of life, helping women to live well, is that the aim of treatment, Dr. Hu?
Yes. And that and trying to prevent problems like what Sarita had, which is struggling with fertility. So in those days, we used to say, okay, quickly get pregnant. So there is some truth to that, because when you're younger, it's easier to get pregnant. And if you were to require fertility treatment, your chances of success is higher when you're younger. Okay, so there is some truth to that. But when a woman is having pain, you're not telling her to go and meet the next man on the street and get married and have a kid, right?
You're not addressing her needs, right?
Addressing her problem.
So what are the treatment options? Because I keep hearing from Sarita, surgeries, but like you said, that's the last option, isn't it?
Yeah. We are very fortunate now because in the last 5 to 10 years, new drugs are coming onto the market now that actually help with the treatment of endometriosis. So before this, we only had medications to help symptoms. So those are usually painkillers, but they don't actually do very much for the progression of the disease. Then we started using oral contraceptive pills, the pills that we usually use to prevent pregnancies because they are a hormonal preparation. So because we recognize there is a correlation between periods and endometriosis. So we try to stop the periods so that you don't suffer as much when you have no period, no pain, right? So some of us started using contraceptive pills. These are better than nothing, but not great. But there is a new pill out in the market now, which is a progesterone-only preparation, which actually helps to reduce endometriosis itself. So with the advent of this, then we have more options. Before that, yes, surgery was the option. But surgery, you must remember, we are not targeting the disease. We are targeting the aftermath of the disease.
So you're removing the
complications. We are not dealing with the disease. The other options open to us were injections to put a woman into a chemical menopause. So we are mimicking the menopause state. So remember I said endometriosis, periods, they have a correlation. Stopping periods, stop endometriosis. But which 25-year-old woman would want to be in a chemical menopause?
Mm.
Not many. And it causes a lot of side effects. It causes brittle bone disease or osteoporosis. So this is not a long-term solution. But with new medications out in the market now, we finally have real hope. So I hope that women who think that they might have endometriosis will go to their gynecologist or even their family doctor and ask about this, the newer treatments for endometriosis.
What would the newer treatments aim to do?
The newer treatments actually aim to reduce the effect of endometriosis. So the studies have actually shown that they actually reduce the endometriosis itself. So what it does is that it actually kills off the cells that are outside, so that it won't cause the problems that they are causing.
There's no way to target the pathway that is leading to endometriosis in the first place?
We don't know what is the exact pathway. That's the problem. So we don't know what causes endometriosis. Why is it in some women and not others? One of the very popular theory is that actually when you bleed out towards the vagina, right? So the other theory is that, okay, maybe you bleed the other way. You bleed through the tubes. And then that's why it gets into the abdominal cavity and the tummy and all that and cause all the problems there. If that's the case, how come Surita and Ganti got endometriosis? I don't have. You know what I mean? Not. So it's not a perfect theory, but that's one of the theories that's been bandied around. So no one really knows. So that's why we cannot target the root cause. No one knows.
All right. Okay, we'll go for another quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about going to see, you know, practitioners outside of the medical fraternity. I'm sure this must be quite common for many women trying to look for answers. And I want to find out if either Surita or Gandhi have experiences to share in that regard, or perhaps Dr. Hu. So I'm speaking to my three guests today, Surita Morgan and Gandhi Madi Subramaniam from My Endosis, as well as Dr. Hu Mei Lin, consultant obstetrician and gynecologist. We're discussing endometriosis. We'll be right back. BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Health and Living with me, T. Xiao Yik. Today I'm speaking to consultant obstetrician and gynecologist Dr. Hu Mei Lin, Surita Morgan from My Endosis, as well as Gandhi Madi Subramaniam, who's also from My Endosis, and that's a patient support group for women living with this condition called endometriosis. Now, you know, we've talked so much about how women are affected when they live with endometriosis, not only the symptoms, but the challenges in getting it properly diagnosed and treated. Now, in our culture, traditional complementary medicine or alternative medicine is very, very popular. And I'm just wondering whether this is something that women turn to when they can't find the answers from their healthcare professionals. Surita or Gandhi, is there anything you can share in this regard?
Okay, in my case, well, actually, I started to look at modern medication, but when it didn't really work effectively as what I wanted to work. So then I started to look at diet, you know. So what I did was I changed the way I eat. And of course, I start eating healthily, avoiding processed food. But bear in mind, this is not a cure, right? It does help you in coping with endometriosis, but it's not a solution. At the same time, I'm also relying on my gynecologist. I always feel like it's important to always get yourself checked, you know. Of course, there are a lot of alternative medication out there, but you have to actually make sure that you get yourself checked as well. Okay, that's what I tell people, and I tell a lot of members in My Endosis. I personally have not tried any alternative medication, but I have managed to move towards this endometriosis diet where they talked a lot about changing the way you eat and, of course, avoiding processed food, avoiding inflammation, because like what Dr. Hu mentioned, it does cause inflammation. So I try to avoid inflammatory type of food, you know. Mm-hmm. That's my personal opinion about what I did. You know, I'm not sure whether everyone is the same. It's not a standard thing. It's actually the individual itself, which one works for them and which one doesn't work for them.
Mm, yeah. Oh, I've had quite a few patients who have tried alternative therapy. Uh-huh. And I think I agree with Surita. Mm-hmm. A lot of them have found very, very good solutions to their symptoms. Okay, so it's wonderful. I've had patients who come to me and say, I've got almost no pain. They're great. And usually it's a combination of herbs, diet, and acupuncture. Okay, so I don't think that there is a solution for everyone. And I think alternative therapy can provide us some answers. However, I would like to stress that it is symptoms only. So usually the women will still come back and see. So I do tend to see them in tandem. Okay, so they go to their traditional medical specialists and they are doing their herbs and their treatments and therapies. But on the same time, they are also being monitored. So I don't think there's a correct answer for anyone.
All right. Gandhi, do you have any experiences to share?
I do. Before I was diagnosed at the age of 26, at that time, the awareness was very poor. I didn't know what I was having. So a lot of people give suggestions, why don't you go and get treatment here and there. So I did. I did everything. I did Ayurvedic. I did TCM. I did Malay traditional herbs. Everything I did. And what happened is that during that course, they gave like 6 months, you need to, for example, Ayurvedic, they do the detox first, then only they start the medication. So during the detox, you're not allowed to take any modern medicine. So how every month when I have my period, I will be in the emergency and they will be pumping me with medicine. And when I go back to the doctor and I say, you have to start it all over again, And my 6 months become like 12 months, because it's like starting all over again. So for me, it did not work. But when I got diagnosed at the age of 26, the doctor actually diagnosed me with endometriosis. That was a bizarre story because I went to see the doctor, ONG, for business, and I fainted in front of her due to pain. And they tested and then they checked. And she said, actually, you're having endometriosis. And I was like, thank God I have a name for my disease. Mm. And from that day onwards, I choose not to go for any alternative medication. I depend everything on my ONGs because I feel that I already tried that and it didn't work for me and I don't want to go back there again. I want to follow with what my doctors have to say. Yeah.
All right. And just very quickly, Sarita, do you want to talk about what myendosis does?
Yes. Okay. So due to this void of information that we have in our society, our association is trying to create awareness. Okay. So we're going step by step. We're doing it in schools as well. And we're also educating employers. And what we did was we started with a school, a Methodist girls' school, and we got a very good response. What we see was a lot of young girls having issues with their period and they don't know who to go to, you know? So that's one thing. And the other thing is we're trying to educate employers. And you must understand that a lot of employers don't know this and they might feel like we're...
What Gandhi said, right?
Yes, exactly. So we're trying to educate employees. And there are so many employees who started to reach out to us and they started to invite us to speak from the patient's perspective. And so what we're trying to do is we're trying to educate people. How are we doing that? We're doing it through our website. We have our own website, myendosis.org. And we also have our Facebook page, Endo March Malaysia. So we work closely with medical doctors. We invite them to our shows. Recently, since last year, we've been inviting them online to do online shows to educate people. At the same time, we explain about the condition from the patient's point of view. So that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to break the taboo and educate people.
And, with education, what you want is for people to be aware and then to be able to provide you the support or provide women the support that they need, right? And Gandhi, we always talk about support, but in a very abstract sense most of the time. Yes, we need support. But what kind of support would be most beneficial for you and other women like you, Gandhi?
Actually, the support that we were expecting is actually knowledge that we're going to share. Like, for example, when I was not diagnosed with endometriosis, and then even after that, I still did not see my direction. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just, when I see a doctor, whatever the doctor say, I follow. But the thing is that with the support group, when you discuss with a lot of ladies, women out there with their problem, when you relate to what you have, it's good for us to get a second opinion or think about the options, some of the side effects, whether it works for us, because it's not a cookie cutter. So to have a lot of people to discuss among us about this, we have more knowledge. So when we go to see a doctor, we can see, doctor, you see, my condition is this way. And then maybe we make the doctor to understand too that actually we are different. So if you're alone, we don't know what we're dealing with. There are many times doctors, some doctors say that you have to remove your uterus. That's the only thing, because my condition was very severe. But when I discussed with my support group, they said, no, that's not, may not be an option because you have adenoid, and that's not helpful. So that kind of thing is actually is very powerful, because awareness, like Surita said, awareness is a very powerful tool for us to be prepared with our disease and not to mislead in another way. And I like what Dr. Ho's principle is that surgery is not an option. A lot of us went through a lot of unnecessary surgeries. We didn't know that it was unnecessary. We only got to know when we were in the support group that it was unnecessary. Mm. So this kind of thing that I wish I knew early so that I should have avoided that, all that. So, but I got it very late, but I'm glad that I knew my endosis so that I have the support. In fact, when I was diagnosed at the age of 26, the first thing the doctor said, that was way back in 1999, you get a support group. She didn't talk to me about the treatment. She said, you get a support group.
Hmm.
And yeah, and that time we didn't have any support group. Yeah. So you can see that how important is the support group. And they also helped me in coping my emotional, mental stress. There are wonderful women, which I don't know their faces. I only know their name. When I say I'm in pain, they will be offering me, look, I'm going to come to your house and take you to the hospital. That's the least they can do, because why? They understand our condition, which sometimes it's sad to say your own family members don't understand that actually you need help. But these are my family, my endosis is my family, that I can tell them anything and they're always there for me, I would say. I'm glad I found them.
Absolutely. Dr. Hu, I think the one very strong theme coming through is how we want to start education and get girls, young girls, to be aware and know what's normal and what's not normal when it comes to their periods and their pain and their sexual health issues, actually, really, right? So do you think that when girls start getting their periods, they should see a gynecologist straight away?
I think that's while that might not be necessary, I think actually we are going to touch on a not so popular subject, which is sex education in schools. Okay, I think if I'm seeing them after they get their periods, I think it's a bit late, to be honest. Okay, but if I were to see like every single seven-year-old to come through my door, then it's a little bit too much as well. So I don't think it should be done at the level of the doctor's clinic. I think it should be done at a much, much wider platform. So either you incorporate into the national syllabus or things like that. But, you know, I think the awareness is out there now. I am getting invitations to go and speak to in school. Some of them asking me to speak to 16-year-olds. I said, no, please direct me to the 10-year-olds. I want to speak to the 10-year-olds, mm-hmm. right? Not the 16-year-olds. It's a little bit late. So I think if you want to talk about education, educating the public, creating awareness, I think My Endosis is doing wonders. I'm really inspired by this woman as a healthcare professional. I'm very lucky. I don't suffer from having a period. So I think my motto now is your period should not stop you from doing anything. Your period should be that I just need to put on a pad. I can do everything else. If I wear a tampon, I can even swim. It should be like that. Okay. Yeah. So creating awareness, education, it should happen not at the doctor's clinic level, but at a wider level, nationwide. And maybe if we were to be able to educate one mom today to recognize that her daughter is having a problem, and then she brings her daughter to see a gynecologist or a family doctor, I'll be happy. One. We start with one.
Yes, absolutely. And I myself have definitely learned that period pain is not normal. Now, can I just very quickly get a final message from each of you, Gandhi?
I just would like to say, people out there, that if anyone that you find that have period pain, please ask them to go get help. Please don't judge them. Don't tell them that, you know, oh, this is normal. No. That kind of support. But another thing is this is not a woman problem. This is a community problem. So I think men, women, everybody are the same. In fact, sometimes when we give talk to some universities, some young men come and ask questions to us. So this is actually should be addressed by all.
All right. Sarita?
My message is very clear. All right. So if your period pain is affecting your productivity, is affecting your career, your studies, your quality of life, then try to seek treatment as soon as possible, regardless of what age you are. And of course, join our association, My Endosys, and you can start by looking at our website, myendosys.org. And what Gandhi said, support is essential. It's not just dealing with the doctor, you need emotional support as well.
All right. Thank you so much. I've been speaking with Dr. Hu Mei Lin, consultant obstetrician and gynecologist, Sarita Morgan from My Endosys, as well as Gandhi Madhi Subramaniam, also from My Endosys. And you can look them up at myendosys.org or on their Facebook page, which is EndoMarch Malaysia. You've been listening to Health and Living on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.